Hey guys, own a business big or small? Got a digital gig that you'd like to promote or a product that you want to sell? Then listen up. We just launched the ability for anyone to advertise on Juan App. That's right, your ads on Juan App Podcasts. All you need is a credit or debit card. Go to purewinning.com to get started. That's purewinning.com, and you can hear your ads on the Juan App Podcast.
Hey, Saif, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And you seem rather chipper today, Saif.
It's the middle of the day. We're recording at a different hour, so...
Well, and you're also audible this time.
Yeah.
Which is exciting, because I heard
I got chopped off last time.
Yeah. It was literally one of the most annoying experiences to not only have to deal with, but then also to edit afterwards and still...
Try to fix it.
Yeah, and it was still a bad fixing job. Do you want to tell the people who's with us today?
Well, I thought we were just going to have Large Professor slash Extra P.
So did I. That's what I thought.
It looks like it's a main source reunion.
Large Professor, that's
crazy.
What's happening?
K-Cut is here.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Word, that's exactly what's happening. Word, K-Cut. Word, we got my man Rashad Smith in there. Getting loose.
Tumble Dice? This is...
Oh, that's Rashad Smith?
Yeah, of course, of course.
That's Tumble Dice?
Of course, of course.
I never knew what you looked like.
Yeah, of course. No,
holy shit.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Y'all didn't meet when you and I met. That was separate. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Were you mad at me for something?
Yes.
No, I thought you was mad at me for something.
But we cleared it all up.
Ain't nobody mad at nobody.
I'm supposed to have you
Listen,
on.
I love you, bro.
That's it. All
I love you,
man.
Too, bro. Yeah. You're supposed to have you on.
We're going to work it out. Don't
give too much detail on this episode because you need your own episode. Fucking episode.
Nice. We'll keep it on.
Listen, man. Nice. This man right here.
No, but please still be involved.
So
what I want to do is to what happened was I saw a thing last week that they were re-releasing. What's the name of the company doing the re-release again?
Vinyl Me Please.
Vinyl Me Please.
Yes.
I saw Vinyl Me Please was doing a special 25-year re-release of Breaking Atoms. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then I keep looking and it says, they have a reunion show at SOBs.
Right.
And I said... Oh, shit, we're messing up right now. So I got Saif on the phone, and fortunately, Extra P was made you guys available, and I didn't know that we'd have the whole squad here. So this is beautiful because it was very funny, Saif, to listen to these guys do the podcast, this Vinyl Me Please podcast, because they're like just straight music nerds, right? But they're not like ultimate hip-hop heads. So they
Wait, who?
The guys from Vinyl Me Please, the company that did the re-release?
Podcast?
No, they did a podcast.
Oh, they did a podcast.
Yeah, so when
what?
They have a podcast called Vinyl Me Please, and their podcast was about, they do a podcast about their release, each release.
Oh.
Their Vinyl Me Please is a subscription service.
Okay.
So once you pay a monthly, you get whatever vinyl they put out that month.
Oh.
So they, so that's the,
and they do not just hip hop.
No, not just hip hop. So they, so their story behind for this album was so funny to me because it was the perspective of music heads who naturally, like a lot of people, if you weren't a super hip hop head, had never heard this album, right? So he's like, I discovered it 6 months ago.
Wow.
No doubt.
And so it was very interesting, and they just fell in love with it, and they started asking people around, like, how known is this album? What? And so it was interesting to hear it. Yeah, well, think about it. If you and I do not know the main source equivalent in many other genres.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It makes sense. You guys are a hip-hop staple, but if I met some Joe Blow, Johnny Come Lately, new hip-hop, they wouldn't know. I wouldn't expect them to know Breaking Atoms. So, first of all,
that's true.
You know? So, it was very interesting to hear. So, first of all, congratulations. I'm glad someone's doing it.
Definitely.
Now, how does that work? They license it or something?
Who do they call for that? Because it's Wild Pitch. How does it even work?
Right now, it's the fam. It's the fam. They had to call the fam. Yeah,
they have the rights to it. So, I don't know the extent of all of that. I don't know the extent of everything. You know, I just
What fam? The fam of whoever?
My family. My family.
Oh, your family owned it. Yep. Oh, I see.
So, you know what I mean?
So they license it or whatever. They do some kind of deal.
I don't know what
and
they
then,
do.
Yeah, we be trying to stay out of the politics, man. Yeah. That's what the whole album is about the politics and staying out of the politics, man. You see where politics got us,
is
man.
Is it only coming out on vinyl?
Yeah, it's a vinyl release.
Yeah, they have vinyl.
Oh, just
then they have like an extra,
vinyl.
They have a little extra vinyl.
There's a bonus 45, too, which I desperately to get. Yeah. I forget. You know what's on the 45?
What's on the 45, BP?
Hold on, here we go. Yeah,
some other guys.
What's going on, it's Baby Paul.
Baby Paul, get in there. Grab the mic.
Okay. Yeah. Peace, everybody. It's How My Man Went Down in the Game, which is a previously unreleased.
Yeah, of course.
You know, classic and a remix of Peace Is Not the Word to Play with extra verses from Large Pro.
Oh, okay. Dope. Yeah.
That's how they did that.
I know. I just got a bootleg 45 for my jukebox. I didn't
another
put it in
yet. One, man. You were Just Blaze with these bootlegs.
Now, hold on now. I am not Just Blaze because there are question marks about how Just even creates, how some of these get created.
Right, right, right.
Mine was a common bootleg that I bought, that I found on Discogs. You might have seen it. It was the A side is Faking the Funk.
Yeah.
And the B side is like a sample or something.
Yeah,
it's like, it's a very blatant bootleg.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't like look like the record.
Those come in handy though, man.
But those come in handy. Now, I don't get it geeked. I'm not willing to pay an arm and a leg. Now, how do you feel, Extra P? Because you're a record head. A lot of the record heads, like, I find hate. They really hate on some of these, like, Get On Down re-releases of 45s.
Yo, I think it's all good, man. Like, some of that stuff wouldn't be available or would be through the roof if they weren't, like, re-releasing it. So I think that's beautiful, man. Like, each one, it has their purposes. Every one of them have their purposes. And just where you're at as a collector, whether or not that's going to play a part in your collection or your set. So
before we get into Super Main Source Breaking Adam's talk, how much of an actual, like, everyone knows you're a digger and that you guys all dug together and that you and the Beatnuts and Q-Tip, all these people dug together. How much of a collector are you, though, these days?
Like, that's more where I'm at with it now. It's like I'm more of a collector. Like, before it was just digging and just anything, you know, any element. And it, now it's like I've got my collection down to where it's like real clean cut and it's like the joints that I really have to have, man.
But, did you have to get rid of some stuff as the years went on?
Well, I'm always giving records away and drum machines and all of that stuff. So,
you know, you hear that? Yeah.
He does. I hear that. I can't front. Yeah. He's been doing that for years.
Yeah. Tumbling Dice, grab the mic. Sorry, what do you mean? The collecting?
The records and the drum machines.
Drum machines, just
giving them. Like, if I was down on an SP 1200 or something or a 950, I'll call P up, and this is, I mean, back in the days, and he'd be like, yo, come get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He just give it to me. He'd be like, yo, he said, yo, that's you.
Records and all of that. So, you know, some way, somehow, I know somewhere, if I need that record, someone has it somewhere. Yo, you still got that record? You know,
It's funny that you say that. That's actually a very smart way and giving way of dealing with things.
Like,
because
a bartering system almost.
It is. Well, especially because, like, for me, you know, I'm at a point now, my wife, the woman in my building, shout out to Keisha, who works the door, front desk in our building.
Keisha, what up?
No, she ratted me out. I mean, confirmed, ratted me out. You know, she went to my wife. She went to my wife and she was like, Alexa was like, you get records like every day? And I was like, whoa.
Wait, what do you mean, like delivered?
Yeah. They come in the mail because Discogs, I'm always.
You're a Discogs. Oh,
I'm all that.
You get the package downstairs. You open it up. You get rid of the evidence.
Yo, I just got one today because of this conversation. Because I realized that I didn't know where my copy was of, and I know I have it somewhere. I thought, but I don't know where. Of your guys' record, the promo for your guys' record with Brand New Heavies, and that's on a promo 12-inch. So a record like that that I'm not going to see these days. You go on Discogs. I found it for like $3.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just order them. I'll order one copy for $3.
Discogs is amazing.
It's and a lot of people hate on that stuff too. They're like, you have to get your fingers dirty, bro. I got my fingers dirty enough.
Believe that.
Yes, I love this.
Let me tell you something. When you got your starter kit already, you done got your starter kit from the 90s or even started from the 2000s, man. It's like getting your fingers dirty.
It's luxury now. It's a luxury for us now.
Okay.
I'd like to have another copy of this, so I'll go on with Discogs.
And like Rosenberg,
Rosenberg
uses his laptop to jerk off so much filthy from touching the keyboard. You know,
that's a very good point. I can't even
filthy. You know how much DNA is on that?
You can't use you can't use your porn machine as a DJ machine.
Yes,
very confusing to put those things together. But so hold on, real quick. Did you?
That's funny.
How has the relationship with Main Source, the group, been over the years? How is it now? There's obviously still one member who's not here, so take us through Extra P. Yeah. Take us through like how your guys' relationship has gone in the years since Breaking Adams.
Well, we did have our blow up. You know, after we came out with the project, we had our blow up where it was just, you know, some guys that came into the business really early in the business and learned a lot of stuff hands on right there. You know, while we were actually on stage, so we had our blow up. I mean, between me and K-Cut, like, we was always cool, like, always cool. You know, even and Sir Scratch, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was always cool. It was just, you know, the industry kind of gave us the deal. They gave us the business.
Hold on. I'm calling.
They gave us the business.
I'm calling foul ball right here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because
we already ESPN.
Let's talk. Let's
no, roll. Because I mean, we do remember obviously the line, the projects, the PJs. Fuck
yeah,
them two DJs.
Two DJs.
That was aggressive.
Yeah, definitely.
So it wasn't.
Definitely.
So
that's how I felt
that
at that
bad.
Time.
It's not that bad.
Honestly, I thought the line was dope too myself.
Really?
I'm not a friend.
The line was dope.
You know, but you know, we dealing with hip hop, man. So it goes down. Like that. That's all. You
so
know,
you guys were. That was the roughest of points. Was right.
Absolutely.
That time?
Absolutely. That was pretty much like the only, because if that one came out, like no one would have even known like that there was anything like.
So how did you guys come to be? I mean, it's interesting, you know, hearing your accent. Like you guys are Canadian.
Right.
Extra PB
okay.
from.
He gave me a little break.
Yeah. Let me.
He's not as Canadian as we thought.
No. A lot of people think. Yeah, these guys are Canadian. I was born in Canada.
Yeah.
But I was brought up in New York. I left Canada when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
So I grew up in New York. I went to public school, high school, junior high school, everything. I did everything here. Me and Large Pro.
In Queens.
In Queens.
Yeah. Wow.
Me and Large Pro.
Yeah, they were in Left Rack.
Yeah, we were in Left Rack.
They were living in Left Rack.
Yeah. Which building?
The Brisbane. Come on now.
Brisbane.
The
Brisbane.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
That's
curious.
Right.
The
that's
Brisbane.
Right. I like the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Brisbane. Yeah. Yeah. Man. Come on, man.
All right.
You know what I mean? So it was we met in high school.
In high school.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was Paul's friend, Large Pro's friend, Van.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with Van. Me and Van was, Vanimator. Me and him were like real cool friends, and we used to cut school and go to Green Acres Mall and stuff like that. And we were just talking about like, yo, I want to do a group, and he said, yo, you got to speak to my man Paul.
Hey,
you know what I mean? So from there, it was just like
he was DJing at the time.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like after school, like that was just like a after school hobby. Like you know what I'm saying? Going after school and just everybody gathering their records and bringing their records and getting loose on the turntable.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just more into like being multifaceted with like, yo, I get on the mic here, do some beats here and all that kind of thing. So that's
so why did why did you guys being Canadian stick with you so like so much as part of like who people think of you as?
You know what?
First things first,
like we never really spoke out about anything and been on media to talk about where we're from and any of this. You know what I mean? We just let everything draw out the way it drew out. So we never got to say anything. So these were other people's perspective of, like, who we were. And yo, these guys are from Canada. They're not from New York or whatever. So people never knew. You know what I'm saying? So this is, like, officially, like, the first time that I'm that everybody can really know that I was brought up in New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I only went back to Canada, like, in 94, 95, you know what I'm saying? And that was, like, after the group broke up. And that was when, you know, I had gotten married. So I was just like, you know what? The group broke up. You know, I was depressed. It was just like, yo, my wife's out there now. So it's like, I'm moving out there. So that's when I moved back to Canada.
And you went to Toronto?
Yeah, Toronto.
And
I think a lot of it where how we found out was because I know a lot of people in Toronto. And they let you know that if anything is popping from Toronto, this was before
you
Toronto
may be right.
was like a city that it is now that is so popular because of the Drake, Little X, the Raptors, all that shit. Before that, anyone from Toronto would come down here and they'd be like, you know he's from Toronto, right?
That's a very good point.
I need y'all to know they want you to know.
and
they're proud, though.
Of course.
He's from here.
And so where did Tom Lindice, where did you fit in to the equation?
Well, me, you know what I'm saying, like my association with P, like I used to just come around and, you know what I'm saying, we'd talk about records and beats.
Yeah, he was bringing through some heat too. He was like,
yeah, I mean,
Tom
you know,
Lindice
I was
bringing
back
through
then,
some heat.
Yeah,
back then,
I was, you know, young dude coming out, you know what I'm saying, because I was going to Hillcrest from Brooklyn, Hillcrest High School. And, so I used to always be out in Queens, hooked up with P, and, you know, we started, you know, talking about records, and he, you know, he actually mentored me on the SP and just learning how to chop up stuff, because I was so amazed by the whole Paul C thing, but I never had a chance to go to those studios, you know what I'm saying,
right,
at that time.
Me too, because
I'll get my man, you know what I'm saying? But word, man, just the whole main source crew, man, like they kind of took me in, man, because I was like,
You know what I'm saying? I was thirsty to try to really just learn how to do everything, because I all I was doing was just pause loop tapes, man, at the house. So I didn't have no equipment, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I would, you know, come around every once in a while and be like, yo, P, yo, K, I got the here's my arrangement. So I would have, like, you know, I'll take, like, a whatever, you know, a skull snaps, and I'll loop that for, like, maybe about 4 or 5 bars, and then I'll have the next, you know, baseline jazz joint, and then had that. And so I'd be like, yo, man, P, can you help me,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, assemble this? They help
and
me
if,
out.
If we ever needed, like, someone to stand in for someone, like, that's the perfect right there. For,
right,
for
so I was so the basically I'm an extended member. So yeah, I'm like an extended member of Main Source.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I got to tell you, I didn't really know that either. I feel like a bit of a douche nozzle.
Nah, it's all good.
No, I'm trying to make it all right. I should have known more.
Nah.
This piece of work, though, really, to me, Saif, I don't know about you, but, like, it kind of sits out particularly in hip-hop history for, like,
Brandon Adams?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For how iconic a debut it is, for how young you guys were.
Exactly.
How old were you when you guys were working on the album? How old were all of you guys?
17, 18.
Yeah, 17, 18.
Yeah, you never sounded like it.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It was like,
you
yo, who's
exactly
this blues?
The same.
Who's this
big man voice coming out? You know what I'm saying?
Who's this blues?
Eating a big
hip-hop
plate.
Blues guy with all these
big
blues.
Big
plate.
It is one of those interesting things, like, that it's so important within hip-hop.
Right.
Did you feel, have you always felt like it's gotten the props it's deserved? Like, do you hear about it from someone every day? You always have. Do you get enough personal props that, like, you feel like it made its impact?
Oh, definitely. And it's like quiet. It's quiet. It's not with all that hoopla. It's like when someone comes and they, pardon me, when they're saying, like, yo, the song, like, you could see them, like, you could hear their voice, like, trembling, and they're like, yo, man, you were, you know, so I'll take one of those opposed to a million empty, you know, hey, man, Main Source was, you know what I'm saying, where it's like, you know, they didn't really feel that. Like, they might have just known from the, you know, the Nas story or something, you know, whereas some people, they like, you know, I've had people come up like, yo, that song changed my life. Like, and look, like, telling me, like, yo, look at me. Mm-hmm. Like, that song changed my life. And, like, when you get that kind of stuff, like, it's that's the best.
Wait, you said you took the train here today, right?
Like, definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I love that. Nah, and that's where
you can live
normally,
a regular life.
Definitely. Like, that's where I normally get that love. Is just like, yo, and you know, we passing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We right there at the Deuce or whatever, and we passing. He's like, yo, man, I always wanted to tell you, and it's dope because, like, the people they respect, like, they like, yo, man, you know, I see you here, you chilling, you making your moves or whatever, man, I just want to tell you, you know, I'll be like, yo, what's your name, yo, man, boom, and they just keep it moving, man, and that's hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, that's hip-hop to me.
Do something amazing this year. You've got a great idea for an app, and it's not going to make itself. It's time to visit Shoutem.com/podcast. Shoutem is a powerful mobile app creator that anyone can use. Build an app for your great idea, your business, or for fun. You don't need to be a design expert either. Shoutem makes it easy without having to know how to write any code. Just drag, drop, and choose from hundreds of settings to get your app looking just right on an iPhone or Android. Get started today at Shoutem.com/podcast and save 10%. That's Shoutem, Shoutem.com/podcast.
Saif, you know I always have to get in everyone's pocket.
Yeah, get in your pocket.
I have to get in everyone's pocket.
Why not?
Business-wise, extra P, was this album the biggest thing for you business-wise, or was it other stuff? Wait, what was the... No, because you started then getting straight up...
I'm Saif.
Can I set up my question?
You already
get mad when I dive right in. Fine. How much in your bank account? No. So what were the projects after this? Obviously, you started getting the outside production.
Every other project that came after it. Like, that artwork is so symbolic, man. Like, just all of the sparks flying from the needle hitting the record, man. And now, you know, that was Ock, that was Nas, that was Rashad, that was, like, the next Main Source with Mikey D. Like, all of that came
Pete
out
Rock's
of
on the album.
Word, Pete Rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's that album, man. Like, you know, for us, man. Like, it was like benchmark joint.
So it wasn't that it made such an impact in your life directly financially, but it led to just so many things.
In the long run, you know, it was a long-term investment. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely still out here living and eating off of that.
Off
album.
Of that, yeah, right, in, sure. In many ways.
Yeah, definitely.
And Sife, speaking of Large Pro being like such a regular dude, like, see, because it's a hard balance, Extra P, because we interact with, I guess, a few different varieties of legends. Mm-hmm. We have the legends who we meet, and they're just crushing it, right?
Yeah.
You have the Jay-Z's.
Grandiose,
right?
Yeah, Kanye. Yeah, yeah.
And Kanye's. Yeah. Then you have the very bitter and underpaid and underappreciated, and it's I'm sure you have relationships like this with people. You love them and you appreciate them, but you also feel kind of bad because it's kind of not fair what happened, right?
Right.
And then you have the people like you who are not superstars. They live a nice regular life.
Yeah.
They're happy. Yeah. Everything turned out great. They weren't trying to go on and become Michael Jackson.
Right.
They just became professional yeah. musicians who did
yeah.
nicely.
Yeah.
And so Extra P is a guy like that who, like, one day, for example, I don't know if you remember this, a few years ago.
That rooftop you talking
about. I'm at some rooftop party. Yeah. My wife's friends having a party outside, and they hired a DJ. The DJ is Extra P.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yo, is Large Professor yeah, yeah. DJing this yeah. random party yeah. right now?
Extra P.
Yeah.
Slipping through the cracks.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love it.
Was that just a friend of a friend, someone just yeah. wanting to DJ? Yeah.
And that's the beauty of New York. Like, that's why I would never leave New York, because it's like someone could call me, like a summer stage called me, like, yo, we need you in like an hour. We got XX.
Well, I'm like,
right. I can do it. Yeah, I was just washing clothes. I can do it.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying?
For right, real. Right.
Like, and you know, jump on the 7. Yeah, jump on the 7 and zip. You know, I'm definitely not getting caught up in no traffic, so I'm taking it the easy.
Are man. You Are you ever surprised Ooh, when you go back and look at this album, like that you were even capable of doing it at the age that you were?
Oh no, definitely. We knew what we were trying to the impact that we were trying to make, man, with that project. I swear, like, once it got into that phase of, like, looping and chopping records, like, that was all that we wanted to do, was just like, yo, how do we get the vocals out of this record?
Right,
like,
yeah,
how do we chop
yeah.
around it? And, and like, once those...
Basically make instrumentals
yeah,
out of, man. Out of,
once
out of that, old records. Yeah.
Once that started coming about, where it was like, oh, wow, and then, like, it was wildfire from there, and just, like, I mean, from having the blend technique, like in DJing, and being able to put this record that blends in the same key as the other, man, that's, that was just like a gift from God, man. Like, God was like blessing us, like,
Where'd
yo,
you
yo.
Record it?
Libra Digital out there in Steinway Street,
oh,
man.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We was right there on Steinway Street. Word. Steinway Street. Yeah. And, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, Power Play, of course, man. Power Play. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, this album. You know what it is? Because you were the same age. What year did this come out?
91.
91. So that's 25. Leaders come out?
Leaders came out.
Like,
Brand
you were
New
the same
out
age
right before.
As Leaders of the New School.
Yeah.
But their whole album is about being in high
school
and growing up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your shit is
was
like,
yo, I'm out in the streets with my friends. Street. Like, I'm hanging out with my friends.
Yeah.
Like, front door.
And literally, like, the same age. Yo, you got fucking looking at the
front door.
Sounds like you're 40.
What are you talking about waking up with a girl? What high school girl are you kicking
yeah,
out?
Yeah, right.
Where are you? But seriously, though, like, how were you tapping into stories like that? Like, you only had so much life experience.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, I know where it comes from now, man, and one day I'll probably build on it, man. It's deep-rooted, man. It's deep.
It
man.
Is.
It's
deep.
When I found out, when I looked at it the right way one day, I was like, wow, is this, could have been this? So I don't know. Like, later on, maybe I'll,
elaborate.
Yeah,
and the thing
elaborate.
Is, I like.
It must have been real, because it's 25.
Yeah, it was,
yo,
yeah,
when's
yeah,
later
yeah,
going to
yeah,
come?
Yeah,
we're here right now.
Honestly,
I'll
honestly
still
that
be
should
here.
Be in a book.
Yeah, that's
in a book.
Like, you know, the book joints. Yeah.
Well, what's funny is I actually like burnt bacon.
I think I did too.
I
yeah, I think yeah, on the ends, like the ends used to. Yeah, I think
like
I did too. Yeah,
bacon.
No, Sife, there have been many an assistant who worked for Sife who had to get his bacon order burnt. I've heard
hold on. We fight every night. Now that's not
kosher. Yes, thank you very much.
That's crazy.
That's now here's
that's crazy.
Now here's a question I have for you. Do you know the rules, Extra P, of what kosher is?
Well, according to, around my way, which I grew up with, Everything. Everybody.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It was just something slick that we said on the street, and it's like, yo, dogs, that ain't, that's not kosher right there.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? And that was basically what that was.
Because
you know?
I was very surprised last week because I was my buddy Ballard hit me up, and he was like, hey, I said something to my Jewish coworker, and he said this, I'm confused. And he was like, what does this mean? And he had texted him something like, the guy was going to a spot, and Ballard said, make sure you get the bacon, blah, blah, blah. And the dude was like, oh, ha, ha, and made a joke that made it clear he's obviously kosher.
Right. Right.
And so Ballard was like, can you guys not eat bacon?
Oh, wow.
I was like, Ballard, you're one of the most cultured people I know. You don't know that Jews can't eat bacon.
Yeah. Right. And he probably wanted some mayonnaise on it, too, or something like that. Crazy, right?
No meat and cheese together.
Exactly. Yeah. That's crazy.
He was like, I'm sorry. I don't care about religion. I was like, no, I appreciate that. I know.
No, I learned that at King David out there in Rockaway. I went to King David and I asked for cheese, and like my homegirl that was with me, she looked at me like I was like crazy. She was like, "What? What are you doing?"
Well, where were you? Or what was the place you were ordering?
Oh, King David.
King David was the.
It's the sandwich spot. The crazy sandwich spot.
But it's a Jewish spot.
Yeah, the crazy sandwich spot.
So it's kosher. Everything. Yeah. Kosher. She ordered some cheese. They look cats
over there. Cats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Katz's is kosher.
Right.
I thought it was.
Nah, Katz's, I think you could get.
Nah, King David
is kosher. You
get a
cheeseburger in Katz's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
King David's is kosher. Word.
Yeah, it was the official.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's your.
Hold on, I just want to say.
Go ahead.
Main Source, this album means a lot to me because.
It's one of your favorites, right, Syfe?
One of my favorites, and I almost didn't get it.
What happened?
Because I was with my sister's father and my sister. My sister had a different father.
Of course.
And then his girlfriend, we was in a mall. And I saved up $15. And I was like, I'm buying a CD today. And I went, and it was between...
I know I've heard this before, but
it's between Main Source and Terminator X.
In the Valley of the G-Man.
Oh, wow.
And then
wow.
My stepfather was like, yo, that one's cheaper, and it got more songs on it.
Bargain digging.
And I was like, yeah, but I like the artwork of this one. And I think I heard their song on Video Music Box. I like this one better. But
what, Main Source?
Like, Main Source. He was saying the Terminator X one was cheaper.
Was cheaper.
Right.
More song. And then the video for Looking Out the Front Door
was starting to...
And I was like, yeah, but I think I like this. But Terminator X did have...
Yeah,
one
there was
a
Buck Wilding was on that, wasn't it, or something
Buck
like that?
Wilding.
A couple.
So they both had singles. So I was like, which one?
You made the right call.
I think so.
All due respect to the great Terminator X, I think you made the right call.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your number one on this album? Do you guys have a number one?
It varies.
Yeah,
daily it varies.
I mean, culture wise,
Live at the Barbecue.
Live at the Barbecue is just.
I really liked Just Hanging Out, too, man.
I like
Just Hanging Out, man.
Just Hanging Out.
Yeah. I like Snake Eyes.
Yeah, Snake Eyes came out the gate, came out the gate, barking on
them. There's tons of them, man.
Peace is crazy.
You have, like, some days you might feel like
baseball
listening to this
crazy.
Song.
Yeah, baseball, song, yeah,
you know
baseball.
I mean? It's a mood thing, but overall, like, I think, I don't know, I love the record.
How often do you still listen to the album?
I listen to it.
Well, I mean, I have to perform it, so I'm like all over the place still performing it. So
you hear it all the time on the radio.
Ramos on Rapier.
Yeah.
Let's
rock. He did this one?
He gave me the loop for it. He gave me the loop for it. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
He was steady giving people loops back then.
Yeah.
But like in the very early days, he was always.
Definitely, yeah. At the same time. Yeah. But can't rhyme.
Yeah.
They probably think, yeah. And that's gangster right there, like that tempo and everything.
And
that's what they loved down Cali. Like they knew they was like, yo, it's kind of gangster, right? Because baseball was big in Cali.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the Boys in the Hood soundtrack.
That's right, in the Boys in the Hood soundtrack.
Yeah.
They came back and got it.
Version though, right?
No. The actual. Oh yeah, the one they had on the vinyl. They tried to do a little
mix
of clicks on it. Yeah, but nah, it was the real one in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the remix.
Right.
For baseball.
Wait, this is a different version?
Yeah, that's
not the original. That's the remix. Yeah.
And they put that on the soundtrack. But when it played in the movie, they played the original.
Why
always happens.
Yeah.
Now, how did was
oh, this one, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's the original.
Brother. Hit.
Yo,
I stayed
in the house all day. It was a hot summer day. I stayed in the house all day. I could have been out chilling. running around with the chicks and everything. Like, I stayed in the house, man, I wrote that whole thing, and we had the studio that night or something like that, man, and I sat there and wrote that whole thing. And that, you know, normally I did my little things in pieces. Like, I do a verse here and tell them, like, yo, we're going to come back on this. Yeah. But that one I wrote, like,
I remember when
straight.
You did it twice, though. You came back and you fixed it up, too. Right? So I remember the day that we went in the studio and Large Pro dropped the lyrics on that. I was like, wow, we got something.
Yeah,
crazy.
And then we just started designing, like, you know, because we just had to, we would start off with the loop and the rhymes or whatever. Then we started designing and
around it,
putting this record in there and that.
So what do you mean? So go into that a little bit more. By designing, you mean just adding the flavor?
Yeah, adding like the horn on it or doing the drum loop.
The Lou
we had that Lou Donaldson running. And then it was a matter of like customizing it now, like to the lyrics and everything. And that's what we love that part of it.
Yeah, why don't people do that, yo?
Yeah, yo. I mean, in Libra Digital, the thing that was great with Libra Digital is they had the Synclavier.
Yeah,
that thing was a million-dollar machine at that time, man. Quincy Jones was, like, the only one who had that, and Stevie Wonder.
What
and they had a Synclavier.
Like, keyboard or...
Yeah,
it's like the joint with the computer on it, right?
With the computer, the first joint.
I think Teddy Riley might have had
that. Yeah, Synclavier, word. And so all of that impossible, crazy, how did they do that stuff, man? That was, Tony P, right?
Yeah.
Tony
yeah.
P used to be like,
Tony P.
Yeah, man, Tony P.
He's the engineer?
He was the engineer from Libra Digital.
Oh, somebody.
And Tony A was the manager. Yeah. Tony. It was the two Tonys
that ran the spot.
Yeah,
I met a guy. I don't remember when it was, and he told me, did Kane record there?
Of course. That's the first one who started recording.
I met some guy, and he was like, yo, I used to work in a studio. I think his name was Tony.
Tony P.
I used to work in a studio, Libra Digital.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I never heard of it.
That's a very famous studio.
Yeah,
and
man.
He was like,
very from New York.
He was like, tell
iconic.
Mr. C.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. C will know me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah, whatever.
And that's Synclavier. Yeah. Man, that piece, man, that was a big piece at that time, man. That thing was like clocking in at like late 900s up to a million. Too. Like, that piece was.
How does one get that for their studio?
Larry Smith had that joint, too. That's what he did, like, all of the Houdini stuff on there. And,
yeah. Now, they, you know, they were some good fellas over there. I'll leave it at that. You
okay,
know what
they
saying?
Figured
some
it out.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Good
yeah.
fellas.
Some good fellas over there.
Just leave it right there.
Yeah. That's
yeah, those some good fellas, man. I like them. They're good fellas.
Were you guys? This, what about?
Hey, just, some Mu Young
did you guys make Faking the Funk at the same time you made the rest of the album?
Nah, Faking the Funk came later.
You guys straight made that for the soundtrack?
Word. Yeah. They came to us for the soundtrack and was like, yo, we need a
White
song.
Man Can't Jump, that is, of course.
Yeah. And
I was in your crib. Yeah.
Right into the mic. Talk right into the mic.
I was in Paul's crib.
Yeah.
And he brought the loop.
Yeah.
And he put the drums together and he was like, yo, okay, finish this.
Yeah.
And
me and Neek and Rashad and Kev, like, we used to just ride around in dollar cabs, but like in the cabs, the system cabs.
Yeah, I remember that.
Word, just playing the beat for
like,
Faking
the Funk.
Yo,
where the cassette tape at?
Word, play the tape. Like, we going to ride to go get out, you know what I'm saying, our accessories and everything.
Yep.
And then, word, we playing that. We
what accessories were you Yo, I need a pocket
Ask
square.
Ask Kane. Kane screamed on me for getting my accessories one day, man. But, it was so it was only right, man. Like, for real.
And by the way, it's so perfect.
Yo, we got stories for days, man.
Rashad, if there are any that stick out in your mind right now, please just feel any of the ones that.
Nah,
like,
I'm letting this man.
You got your own episode coming up, man. You good, man.
Right.
I'll come.
But this is about Breaking Adam. So, like, if there's anything that you guys remember from those sessions specifically, people being around. How about the recording? Have we even really delved into the recording of Live at the Barbecue and how that came together from a recording standpoint?
Wow.
That was Homeboy Studios, right?
I was talking to Nas last night. I said, yo, remember we went down to that studio on 54th Street or whatever?
Yeah. Cool.
That's what it was called.
That was the last song.
That's where Salam
Remy?
Lived in that same building. And they had like a few studios in there. Word, that's where we... New Salon. What
is it, Homeboy Studio?
Yeah, Homeboy Studio.
Puff used to have, used to work up out of there because Puff was in there too.
We originally, right there, maybe 56th. It was the next block over from where the Red Zone was. Yeah, it was right there, like the next block from where the Red Zone was, and Sony.
Live at the Barbecue was the last song.
That was the last song
on the album that we had to do because we turned in the album.
Yeah.
And Stu Fine was like, "Y'all need another song."
Yeah.
And we were like,
and we were always like messing with Barbecue. Like we had that beat up a few times, and we did a few attempts at it. And it was just like when they said, "Yo, we need this extra song," we just went in there.
You know what's weird?
Solidified it.
I'm gonna tell you something weird.
Whoa! Hold on, Syfe. Before you tell that story, we are going to take a break here. This will be part one of the Main Source episode. So a shout out to Main Source. That show is at SOBs next week. And make sure you cop that re-release of Breaking Adams. Main Source part two coming next week. One ep.